Oh, I'm thankful for those everlasting arms. Amen. I'm leaning on God today. I need Him in my life. Amen. I've heard a lot, and I'm not going to get into all the ideas of it, but I've heard a lot about dominion, and I'm not coming as a critic at all. You hear different things. Amen. Self-empowerment and dominion, and I do believe that we do have the power of God, and we do have the Holy Ghost, and we have the name of Jesus. But man, sometimes I hear stuff that seems to paint a picture that we can make it without leaning on God, and that we could walk without Him, and that we have all this power and authority, that we can just do everything, and we've got it all together. Amen. I hope that's okay to say that. But I'll tell you what, I need God in my life every day. I'm leaning on Him. Amen. I need Him every day, every hour. On a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday. Hallelujah. I can't do anything without Him. Hallelujah. We're living in a world that's trying to push self-empowerment and confidence, and that's good to a point. Hallelujah. But I don't ever want to get to the place that I don't need to lean on God, and I don't need His help, and I don't need His strength. Praise God. Anybody thankful for those everlasting arms of Jesus? Hallelujah. The everlasting arms. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get tired and we got to lean on something. And my little girls, they get tired. We'll be out walking and going places. And I notice my 9-year-old and 5-year-old, all of a sudden they're leaning on me. And I'll let them for a little bit, but then I got to say, hey, you're wearing me down. I can't drag myself and you everywhere. You got to walk on your own for a minute. But those arms, man, I appreciate that song. Those arms of our God never get tired, and they never get weary. They can handle me. They can handle you. They can handle every man, woman, boy, girl in the world at the same time. Hallelujah. Our God never slumbers or sleeps. Why don't we clap our hands? He's always there, the ever-present help in the time of need. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. I appreciate men of God in my life that carry themselves in a way that their body language and the way they carry themselves is an attitude of depending on God and needing God for everything, a carefulness, amen, not self-empowerment and dominion and just taking over and rah-rah with all the answers in life. I'm thankful for men of God in my life that have showed me how to trust in God for everything and to humble myself before the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody feel small in the presence of God? Oh, hallelujah. We ought to feel small. Our God is so big and so great. We ought to feel so small. When King Saul's spirit was right, he was small in his own sight. But somewhere, man, he got a dominion, I don't know, self-empowerment, some kind of attitude and spirit, that he had all the strength that he needed to do what needed to be done without God. Oh, hallelujah. I need Him. How about you? I need Him. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I've been wrestling a little bit today and thinking about this service, and I do feel this on my heart right now. If we could turn to the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. I apologize that you only get to see the ugliest member of my family here tonight. People don't want to see me anymore. They just want to see my wife and my girls. And I'll survive somehow. Praise God. Luke 10 and 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, everybody say by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. I want to preach tonight by chance. By chance. Let's pray that God would help us today. God, we pray for your anointing. We pray that your word would touch us tonight. God, oh God, let your word speak to our hearts. God, our hearts are open. Our minds are open. We want your spirit to help us and talk to us. Thank you for your word, God. If you got a Bible in your hand, why don't you just hold it up? Let's thank God for the word tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. Thank you, God. Anybody love this word? Hallelujah. This incorruptible seed, the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us today, God. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Jesus said concerning the 2 commandments that we read already here, the first commandment being, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. The lawyer understood the first part when Jesus gave that law, the royal law, Scripture gives us. He understood the first part of that, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. He understood that. He didn't have any problem with that. There was a peace. There was an understanding. But there was something about that second part of loving your neighbor as yourself. It confused the lawyer. It troubled him. He was disturbed about it. And so he inquired further. He asked the question to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? What I believe that he's asking is, Who am I required to reach out to? Who am I required to help? Who am I required to have compassion on? Who am I required to have a burden for? He was concerned about this because it would possibly require sacrifice. Amen. To reach out, sacrificing time or energy or finances, whatever, for a neighbor, for somebody else. This troubled him, and he asked the question. And then Jesus gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan. Most of us are familiar with this parable of this man that is on a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it's on this journey that he falls among thieves. And these thieves attack him, and they beat him, and they strip him. And it was more than just a punch or a knockdown or a takedown, but they severely beat him, wounded him. He wasn't just wounded and bruised and bloody, but the scripture said he was half dead. Half dead. Amen. Beaten to an inch of his life, like the phrase says. And Jesus talks about three different men, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Three individuals, three men that by chance that they stumbled upon this man who is half dead, unconscious, hurting, at the point of death. Amen. It was by chance that they stumbled upon this man that needed help. These three men were not looking for this. It wasn't on their plan. It wasn't on their agenda. It wasn't on their calendar that on such and such day that I'm going to cross by this man that needs help, that needs to be saved. But it was by chance. It was unexpected that they stumbled upon the perfect opportunity. You talk about a perfect opportunity. This was the perfect opportunity to help save somebody. The perfect opportunity to help restore somebody at the point of death and to help them get strengthened and back on their feet. It was a golden opportunity that fell into their lap. I do believe that we ought to be aggressive. And Jesus said, we know he said, go out into the highways and the byways. And I believe that as the people of God, that we should be aggressive and look for souls and reach for souls and Sunday school kids. And I know I'm standing in a church that is very outreach minded. And I respect your pastor and the burden he has for Bible studies and being a soul winner. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, this church is blessed to have a pastor, a man of God, that's out in the field getting his hands dirty. Amen. Not every church is blessed like that. I will tell you that. Not every church, amen, has a pastor that's so willing and so humble, a servant, to get out in the field of labor with a burden and to reach for people. I believe we ought to be aggressive. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We're not embarrassed about our gospel, are we? We're not intimidated by this truth, and we're not ashamed of the gospel, and we're looking for opportunities, and I believe we ought to be looking for Bible studies and looking for open doors. Is there anybody on the hunt, on the prowl, that's just hoping and anticipating and looking? Man, I want a Bible study, and we're just longing and looking and aggressively searching for an opportunity to help somebody. And I believe that's good, but I come to preach tonight for a little bit and tell you that I believe that there's times that by chance, when we're not even looking for it, by chance, hallelujah, that there's opportunities that will fall into our lap, hallelujah. There's times that God opens the door. There's times that God just makes the way. And I believe as the people of God, if we would just be sensitive, if we would just have an open heart, an open mind, a willing heart, hallelujah. I like what the Apostle Peter said. He said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to anyone, everyone that asketh you. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, asketh you. Amen. Be ready, because somebody's going to ask you about the reason of the hope that lies within you. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that God opens the door and people will ask us, and opportunities can fall into our lap. It's important how we respond when God places an opportunity in our path. Oh, hallelujah. And so Jesus, the first man out of these three men that stumbled upon this by chance, the first man was the priest. The second was the Levite. And I was reading into this recently, and commentators, their opinion is that the priest and the Levite were on their way home from the temple. Many of the priests, they lived in Jericho. It was a city for the priests and the Levites, but their duties were in Jerusalem, in the temple. And so it is very possible that the priest and the Levite are on their way home from the temple duties. And they're on the path, on the journey, the long walk home. Hallelujah. The priest and the Levite are religious men. And they were men who were consecrated. They were holy men. They were set apart for the work of God. These are men that are faithful to the temple and faithful to the sanctuary, faithful to their duties. They're worshipers at the altar. They're probably clean men with good morals in their life. Hallelujah. The priest and the Levite were well versed in the laws. And we don't have time to get into all the laws, but the priest and the Levite probably had all the Old Testament laws memorized or close to it. And they knew that the law commanded them, if there is a man, if there is a human being that is hurting and laying or under a burden and can't get up, the law says you've got to stop and help them. Amen. They knew that the law said, even if it's your enemy that's hurting and can't get up and laying down, wounded, hurt, injured, they knew the law said you've got to stop and you've got to pick them up and help them. Amen. Not only did the law command that you had to help mankind, but the law also commanded that if there's an animal that's injured and cannot get up and hurting and needs assistance, the law says you've got to stop and help that animal. Is this all right tonight for a minute? Hallelujah. Amen. They were well versed in the law. They knew the law clearly required them to stop. Let me just bring a couple of those laws real quick. Deuteronomy 22 and 4. It says, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox fall down by the way and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. Exodus 23 and verse 4. If thou meet thine enemy's ox going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ox of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Now, I don't know about you, but if there was somebody that hated me or they were my enemy and I saw their ox laying down, hurting in the way, in my flesh, I would just say, that's just too bad. That dumb animal can just... Is that all right? I'm just being honest here. That dumb animal can just be in misery. That guy hates me, and I'm glad his ox is laying down there hurting. But the law said, even if somebody hates you, and it's his ox, his animal, you've got to stop and help that animal. Hallelujah. And so the priest and the Levite, they knew these laws. Amen. They were in their mind, and they were very, very familiar with these laws. But Jesus said the priest, the first one mentioned, he's on the journey home and he's walking and he sees that man that's half dead and bloody and unconscious and needs help. And the priest knows that the law says to stop, but the priest just kind of glanced at him and saw what was happening and just kept on pressing on home. Hallelujah. The second man Jesus mentioned was the Levite. And the Levite did what the priest did, but it was a little bit different. The Levite came closer. The Levite stepped across the road and looked at that man for a minute and kind of checked him out and see what's going on. And then the Levite went back to the other side of the road and continued on home with his journey. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've read this in the past, and it's so easy for me to just write the priest and the Levite off. Just write them off as men who are evil and men who have no compassion, men who are beyond feelings. Anybody ever felt that way in this story? Hallelujah. Men who have no heart and men who are hard-hearted. And how could they leave somebody dying on the road? How could they just pass by and not stop and help. But I want to tell you, it's very possible and probable that the priest and the Levite were troubled inside when they saw that man. It's very possible that they were fighting back tears, and it's probable that they were feeling sad and feeling sorry for this man, and wondering if this man had a wife and children, wondering if this man would survive, and just wishing that this would not have happened. Hallelujah. And I believe it was in their heart to stop and help. I believe they were troubled, the priest and the Levite. And I believe that they were considering helping. Amen. But I believe it was the busyness of life. Amen. The busyness of life. Hallelujah. Amen. These men were pressed for time. They're on their way home and they've got obligations. They've got errands to run, and the bank's going to close at 5:00 and I've got to stop there. And my wife's got dinner going. And you know, I believe if this individual just needed a little pat on the back and some dust wiped off and just pick up on his feet and give him a slosh of water and send him on his way, they would have done it. But when they looked at this man, they realized, amen, this is going to take an entire evening. This is going to take hours. Hallelujah. This will take a whole night. This will carry on into tomorrow. Hallelujah. They were dealing with somebody that needed help, desperate help, and it would cost them an evening. It would cost them family time. It would cost them a lot of convenience. Hallelujah. And so it was because of this that they decided to press on with their life and continue on. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't want to have tunnel vision in my life. Hallelujah. I don't want to be so consumed with my life. Amen. And the busyness. Am I the only one that we feel like we don't have time to run all the errands and take care of all the crazy kids? Hallelujah. Amen. And we're running here and running there, and there's self-consumption, and it's just a part of life that we're running and going, and we've got plans and ideas. But I'm telling you, amen, when something is placed in our pathway, when there's a golden opportunity, when there's a door that opens up, that hey, right here, you can make a difference in somebody's life today. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be ready, Brother Wurst. When God opens a door, I want to walk through that door. Oh, hallelujah. When there's an opportunity placed in front of me to make a difference. Anybody want to make a difference in somebody's life, somebody's world? Hallelujah. Oh, I want to make a difference. Amen. Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan, the third man, and he's coming down the road. Hallelujah. And he sees that man half dead. Amen. And Jesus said the Good Samaritan had something that he didn't mention with the others, and that word was compassion. Hallelujah. It was more than just feeling sorry. It wasn't, amen, I know compassion is to feel sorry, and there's different levels of defining that word, but it was more than just feeling sorry, but a compassion to really want to help. Hallelujah, to step out of ourselves, to step out of convenience, to step out of our schedule. Hallelujah. He was moved with compassion. I'll tell you what the Good Samaritan had that those other two men did not have, and that was a pause button. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember playing Mario Brothers with my brother way back in the day, and that was the old school stuff. And Mario had to make those long jumps and land on a little island, and my brother would pause it right when I was in midair. And when the game got paused and then unpaused, you just lost your timing and momentum of everything, and my Mario would die and lose his life. Can you believe my brother would do that, Brother Reed? You know my brother. Doesn't that shock you that he would do something like that? Oh, hallelujah. And that pause. But I'm telling you, amen, when God opens a door, when there's an open door to talk to somebody, when there's an open door to help save somebody, come on, somebody, when there's somebody in our path that's half dead and they're bloody and they're wounded and they need help, we got to have a pause. But Come on, it don't matter if our wife has our favorite dinner coming out of the oven in 10 minutes. Hallelujah. There's a pause button. Come on, I've got to help somebody. I've got to talk to somebody. It may cost me an hour. It may cost me a night. It may cost me a day. But there's a door that has been opened unto me. Hallelujah. And the Good Samaritan hit the pause button. I'm telling you, he was busy too. The Good Samaritan had a family waiting on him too. He had obligations too. He had errands to run too. But he had a pause button. And he comes over to that man. And he begins to bind up his wounds. Hallelujah. And he begins to pour in the oil. Amen. And giving of his own substance. I'm telling you, sometimes it costs money to help people. Hallelujah. And he's pouring in of his own substance and his goods. And then the Bible says that he picks up that man and sets him on his own beast. You know what that means? That means the Good Samaritan was doing this right here. He was walking. Hallelujah. He went from riding on the beast. Amen. The joy ride. Hallelujah. Hey, that was the way to travel. That was the luxury way back in those times to ride on some kind of beast. But he got off that beast and put the other guy on the beast. And there he is walking on his own two feet. Hallelujah. And takes this guy to the inn. And he pays the innkeeper. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, on the morrow. Do you know what that means? The Good Samaritan stayed the night. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I feel a soul winning spirit on me today. A desire for the lost. I've been feeling it on my soul today. Hallelujah. He stayed the night. Hallelujah. And on the morrow, when the Good Samaritan went back to his job and his obligations and do the unpause and get back to the real world, he gave the innkeeper 2 pence. Now, that wasn't 2 cents, but 2 pence. That was somewhere around a complete day's wages for a laborer at those times, if I've got my history right. Hallelujah. It was a sizable amount of money that he gave to the innkeeper and said, hey, take care of this guy until he's up on his 2 feet. Hallelujah. And I'm going to come back and pay the difference if there's any kind of difference to pay later on down the road. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the Good Samaritan saved somebody that day. The Good Samaritan helped restore somebody that day. He saved a life. He saved a future. He saved a daddy. He saved somebody's husband. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when somebody's placed in our path. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Amen. The priest and the Levite, they figured how to do things in the sanctuary. They knew how to come into the temple and build the altars. The priest and the Levite, they built the altars and offered up sacrifices and would raise their hands and worship. They knew how to feel the glory. They knew how to feel the presence of God. They knew how to do things right in the sanctuary. But somewhere, they didn't figure out how to respond out on the streets. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. They knew how to dress right. They had the priest apparel. They knew holiness. Come on, they had righteousness and holiness. They had morals. They were good men. Hallelujah. But they were missing a burden. They were missing a desire for the lost out on the streets, out in the world. I'm telling you, we can figure out how to do it right in the sanctuary and miss out on the streets. Hallelujah. Out on the job, out in the world. Oh, does anybody want to reach somebody? Oh, I want to win a soul, Brother Worse. Hallelujah. I want to win somebody to God. I want to see somebody baptized in Jesus' name. I want to see somebody get the Holy Ghost. I want to witness to somebody. I want to teach a Bible study to somebody. Oh, hallelujah. The priest and the Levite had every I dotted and every T crossed. Hallelujah. They looked religious. They looked the part. And they were worshipers at the altar. But there was a compassion missing. Oh, there was a compassion. There was a desire. There was a burden missing. for people out in the world that need help. Oh, God. Amen. I don't want the anointing that I feel in the sanctuary to stop at me. Amen. I don't want the presence of God to stop at me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, there's things that are clean and pure, but when they stop and become stagnant and lose a flow, amen, water can be clean and pure. There's things that can be so clean and so pure and undefiled, but when they sit and they don't move, hallelujah, and bacteria grows and things come and all kinds of stuff, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the presence of God, if it just stops at us and there's no flow out, oh God, I want that anointing that I feel in church to flow through me and touch somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, man, you don't have to hide your toes under the pew. I'm not going to step on your toes. I'm just preaching. Amen. But there's people that are sponges and they receive from God in the sanctuary, but there's no flow of the Spirit coming off of them. Amen. I've been around people, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm just preaching to you today. But there's people that they come to church faithfully and soak up the presence of God. But when you're around them out on the streets, amen, all there is you feel carnality, and you don't feel God flowing through them. You don't feel spiritual things. Amen. You don't feel any spirituality coming off them, the influence and the feel. I'm telling you, we can't let the presence of God stop at us. But it's got to flow through us. Hallelujah. There's got to be a spiritual influence. There's got to be anointed influence that people can feel it. Come on. What we receive in the house of God, people can feel it on us on a Monday, on a Tuesday. Come on, when we don't laugh at those jokes and we don't cross certain lines. Oh, there's a preaching spirit here tonight. Hallelujah. We don't blend in with the world. We don't act like the world. Hallelujah. There's certain lines that are drawn. And amen, because the spirituality that we receive in church, it's got to flow through us. It can't stop and be stagnant and stale. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Somebody say, by chance. By chance. Oh, hallelujah. I got to reading, studying what that meant by chance in that parable. And there was one commentary that said what that means is without human design. Amen. By chance, the opportunity was there to make a difference without human design. Another definition was God's unseen providence. That means God's guiding of the universe and things that happen and take place in His universe. Hallelujah. God's unseen providence. Amen. Another meaning of that by chance was a divine coincidence. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. I want you just to think for a second how you came into the church. And I was raised in the church, but if you weren't raised in the church, just think for a second how you came in the church. And I believe it's a very likely thing that there was some kind of by chance something happened. God's unseen providence, a divine coincidence that God connected this person to that person, and God put this person on that pathway on that day at that time, and two worlds collided. Hallelujah. And here you are in the church today, baptized in Jesus' name and full of... Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we can get frustrated in soul winning, and we can knock 100 doors and nothing happens sometimes. Hallelujah. And go out and try and try and try. But I'm telling you, don't be weary in well doing. Amen. Don't give up and don't be weary, because there's a by chance moment that's going to come your way. There's a divine coincidence. Hallelujah. There's an unseen providence of God's hands. Hallelujah. That God is going to connect this person to that person, and they're going to come into the church. Oh, hallelujah. By chance. By chance. I like the story of Ruth. Amen. Coming out of Moab. And I believe, I know there's debate sometimes on predestination and God knowing things and working things beforehand, but I believe it's safe to say this. I believe that God wanted Ruth to be part of the bloodline for the Messiah long before she got out of Moab. Is that all right? Hallelujah. I believe that. Amen. That Moabite girl that doesn't even know Jehovah God, but God's got his hand and there's a plan there on that girl's life. And so God's got to get somebody connected and God's got to work something out to get her to be a part of his plan. Hallelujah. I know Elimelech and Naomi, and I know they get beat up for leaving Bethlehem and the famine, and I believe that preaching. Amen. You don't ever leave the church during the famine and dry times and don't look for greener pastures. Hallelujah. But I believe it could have been the hand of God, amen, that was trying to get somebody connected to Ruth. Is that all right, Brother Worse? Hallelujah. And so Elimelech and Naomi, they leave Bethlehem, Judah, and they come over to Moab. And those two boys of theirs, Mahlon and Chilion, however you say those names exactly, and those boys, and I know that it's not right, it's not God's plan for Israelites to date Canaanites and other people from other nations that don't serve God. We don't date outside of our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not here justifying none of that. But I believe that it was by chance that one of those boys, when they saw Ruth walking one day, something swelled up in their heart. And they said, wow, man, she's beautiful. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If one of those boys didn't notice Ruth, if they got Orpah and some other random girl, that other random girl probably would have done what Orpah did and stayed in Moab and not went and served God. Hallelujah. But it was by chance. Somebody say by chance. Hallelujah. It was by chance that they came into the part of Moab where Ruth was. They could have came into the other corner, Brother Worse. They could have came into several miles away, but by chance they came into Ruth's community, her neck of the woods. And by chance, one of those boys fell in love with Ruth. Hallelujah. And she turned to Jehovah God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And it was by chance that Ruth's husband tragically dies. I don't know exactly what happened, but he passes away and he's not involved in the picture anymore. Hallelujah. And Naomi goes back to Bethlehem to leave Moab. And Ruth said, I will go where you will go. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And she comes back with Naomi. Amen. And they get back to Bethlehem, Judah. And they don't know how they're going to live and how they're going to survive. And so Naomi and Ruth come up with a plan that Ruth will go out into the field somewhere and she'll try to see if somebody will be kind and merciful and let her have some crops, some type of increase in food to take home to survive. Hallelujah. And I love what the Bible said. Man, I read it recently and I just felt like having a praise break. You guys know what a praise break is. Amen. And it says this, Brother Worse. It says that, how exactly does it say it? I just read it today 5 times. But it said it was her hap. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Ruth went out into the fields and it was her hap, or by chance, that she lighted upon Boaz's field. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. She didn't know it was Boaz's field. She didn't know Boaz was a kinsman of Naomi. Hallelujah. But it was by chance that she came into Boaz's field. And it was by chance. It was God's unseen providence. Hallelujah. That she marries Boaz and she becomes a part of the bloodline for the Messiah to come into the world. I'm telling you, God knows how to connect us to the right people and put us in the right place at the right time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for God to do something. I'm looking for a divine coincidence. Amen. I'm looking for a divine coincidence. Hallelujah. I've come to preach to this church tonight. I know you're outreaching. I know you're trying, but you just hang in there. There's a divine coincidence that's going to happen. Come on, I'm preaching to a soul winner today, a burden bearer. There's a divine coincidence. You're going to talk to somebody, and it's going to be the providence of God. It's going to be a connection, and it's going to change their life. Hallelujah. They're going to come into the church. Oh, hallelujah. By chance. Oh, God. Amen. Last year, I'll just tell a quick story. It's a testimony. Last year, my trailer was in Fresno, California, and we were parked there and kind of preaching around the area a little bit. And sometimes soul winning, I'm just being honest, sometimes soul winning is something that just gets all over me, and you're just wanting to go out and talk to people and win a soul. And then there's some times that I feel like I can get a little disconnected and just lost in my world. Amen. Is that all right? Hallelujah. But we got to let God stir us back. Thank God for the moments He stirs us back to soul winning. And I was having one of those seasons. I was just stirred up. I want to win a soul. And I was passing church cards out all over Fresno and at the coffee shop and just everywhere. And just, man, I was desperate. I was so hungry and thirsty to see somebody come to church, or to see an open door for a Bible study or something. Hallelujah. And I was frustrated. Things weren't seeming to happen. And I was thinking about, this might have been when God put some of this on my heart. Amen. Divine connections and coincidences. And I started praying, God, I don't want to just hand a church card to anybody or talk to just anybody, but I want a divine coincidence. I'm looking for it. I want to come in contact with the right person at the right time and see them saved. Hallelujah. And I didn't see it for a few months, but I just kept on trying. And then we pulled our trailer out of Fresno and went up a few hours north to Sacramento. And we did a revival in West Sacramento, a church right by the skyscrapers, right across the river into West Sacramento. A good church there. And here I was a little bit frustrated with soul winning, but it's still on me and I'm wanting to win somebody. Amen. And so I needed a haircut. Can you imagine that? By chance. I'm getting there. Amen. By chance, I needed a haircut. And so I typed in hair salon or haircut, whatever. And the church was right downtown. Businesses everywhere. Right in the middle of busy areas. And so all the little red balloons are just popping all over around my trailer and the church parking lot. And so there's a few of these that were less than a mile. A couple of them were half a mile. There was about five or six I could call within a mile or two. And by chance, man, I'm getting excited here and I'm not to the punchline yet. But by chance, I'm not talking about, when I say by chance, I'm not talking about Las Vegas and betting and the odds makers. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a divine coincidence. Amen. By chance, I just clicked on one of those red balloons and said, I'm going to call that one first. I was just calling. Hallelujah. You got to check the rates. Some of these places will stick it to you. You got to do your homework before you just go sit in the barber's chair. That's the truth, isn't it? Don't just go sit in a barber's chair. Check on the rate first. And so I called, and this lady, her name was Matilda. She was an older Hispanic lady, and she was funny on the phone. I could tell she was a character on the phone. And she said, no. She said, I how did she say it? Anyway, don't be offended at me, okay? I've been raised around Hispanics all my life in Southern California, and so I can get away with having fun with it. Amen. And I said, is there any way I could get in later on today? And she goes, oh, no, you come right now. I'll get you in right now. And she was all worked up. And come on now, 15 minutes, just come on. And I said, how much? And a lot of places are $20 or more out in California. It's crazy. And she said, just, I don't know, $10, $12 or something, whatever. Come on. And I said, oh, Matilda, are you sure? And she said, just come on, get over here. She was preaching at me on the phone. And so I took off walking. I thought I was going to wait at several hours, but I just said, I'm going now. And it was a half a mile, about four blocks from the church, just one turn. Just walk down the street from the church and make one turn a few blocks down there. There it is, four blocks. And I sit in the chair, and I'm telling you, right from the get-go, the door swung wide open to talk about Pentecost, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost. And there was tears in her eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There was tears in her eyes. I left a part of that story out just real quick. Let's rewind a couple months to my previous haircut. That's one of the annoying things about evangelizing is you don't have your barber and you don't have this. You just, it's a shot in the dark and you got to get your haircut all kind of places. And so a few months earlier in Fresno, I was getting a haircut and there was an older Hispanic lady cutting my hair. And I felt a burden for her, Brother Wurst. And the door opened. I did talk about Pentecost, but she was closed off, man. And you know when you get that feeling, like, just don't push in anymore. You've done all you can do. Just be nice and back off. But I was frustrated because I felt a burden for her. Hallelujah. But nothing happened. And here I am in a couple months later in Sacramento, and I'm sitting in Matilda's barber chair. Hallelujah. And the door swings wide open, and she's not putting up a wall, but she's opening up her heart. Hallelujah. And there's tears in her eyes. And she said, my family doesn't believe in the moving of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost, but I believe in it. And she said, I asked her, have you ever received it or experienced it? She said, no, but I believe in it. And my family doesn't believe in it. Hallelujah. And I told her, can you come to revival service tomorrow night? And I said, it's just the church right down the road there with the blue roof right there. And I'm telling you, that was the first week of revival. We were there about 5 weeks. And Brother Worth, she came every service over the next 5 weeks. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. She was in the altar crying and praying, repenting of her sins. Hallelujah. She had stammering lips many times. I don't know if she got the Holy Ghost or not while I was there. And she was getting close to getting baptized. I need to call the pastor and check. I haven't done it, and I'm ashamed of that. Amen. But I've got to check on Matilda. But I'm telling you, amen, it was by chance that I called her that day. It was by chance that I went to her barber shop first and didn't go to somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because God was working on her heart. There was a door that was opening unto me. Come on. I didn't have to force my way in. I didn't have to fight my way in. I didn't have to struggle. God put right in my lap. I'm telling you, God will put it right in your lap. God will put it right in your pathway. Hallelujah. The door will swing wide open, and there's an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a young lady in the Hutchinson Church, Sister Stephanie. Some of you may know her. She's kind of new there over the last few years. And I believe it was 2015, a few years ago, that there was a few people from the Hutchinson Church doing outreach on a Saturday. And by chance, they were walking down this particular road at a certain time of the day. Amen. And that Stephanie girl, about 20, 21 years old, a broken marriage, amen, a child on her own taken care of, and she's sitting there on the curb of the street weeping and crying and lost in life. But by chance, amen, those apostolic Pentecostals were walking down that street on that day at that particular time. Amen. A divine coincidence. Of people coming together. Hallelujah. And they prayed for her right there. She broke down praying and crying on the street. She came the next service, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. She's in the church there today in Hutchinson and married to a young man in the church. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, anybody looking for it, anybody expecting, I'm telling you, we got to have our eyes open. We got to have our spirits open for a by chance moment. Oh, God. Man, there's a good spirit here tonight. Oh, Jesus. We need God's help, don't we? I do believe, except the Lord build the house, our labor's in vain. And we've got to labor, and this is a laboring church. I know your pastor, and I know this church. A laboring church with a burden for souls. But except the Lord build the house. Oh, accept that unseen providence, the hand of God that connects this one to that one and puts us in the right place at the right time with the right person. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I'm fired up today. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Y'all know the story of Lydia in the book of Acts. Amen. Was that Philippi? Right outside the city of Philippi, I believe. And Lydia and some others, other women were out there by the banks of the river outside the city. And they're gathering to pray and having times of devotion. And it was by chance that Paul and Silas came to that spot that day. Paul and Silas could have went the other direction out of town by the river and prayed. They could have went some other corner in the city and prayed. But by chance, they came to Lydia's spot that day. Hallelujah. And they began to witness to Lydia. And I like what the Bible says about Lydia. It said, whose heart the Lord had already opened. The Lord had already opened her heart. And the Lord, a divine coincidence, put Paul and Silas right at Lydia's spot and opened her heart. Hallelujah. She was baptized. Her household was baptized. And a church begun and was started in Philippi that day. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about by chance today. I'm telling you, God could fill this place to capacity. Do you believe that? Come on, God can connect. God can connect us to this one and that one and this one and that one. And a church gets started. A revival breaks out. Not because we pushed it or forced it or worked some kind of magic. But because the providence of God, it's unseen. Amen. But the hand of God connects and orchestrates. Oh, does anybody believe God's going to build His church? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we get frustrated trying to build the church. Amen. I've come to preach to some Pentecostals that's frustrated. Amen. We're trying to build the church and trying to make it grow. I'm telling you, amen, God's going to build His church. Up on this rock, I will build my church. Hallelujah. We just got to be laborers. We're just laborers in the harvest. We're just laborers in the fields. Hallelujah. We're just laborers that are longing. The husbandman waiteth and longeth for the precious fruit of the earth. Hallelujah. We're just working in the fields. Amen. We're just waiting on the harvest. Hallelujah. We're waiting for God to put it in our hands. Oh, hallelujah. God gives the increase. Do you believe? All we can do is plant and water, but God gives the increase. Oh, why don't we stand today? I'll just keep on rambling on. Hallelujah. Amen. Lydia was baptized. Her household was baptized. But God wasn't done in Philippi yet. Amen. There was a jailer. I always say jailer, but I think it's, you say the A, jailer, I don't know. Any English teachers here today? But there was a jailer, jailer, whose heart the Lord had opened. Amen. But God's got to get Paul and Silas connected to that jailer. Oh, hallelujah. And so they're, Paul and Silas are walking the streets of Philippi, and they cast out the spirits of divination from that young lady that was trying to fight against them and speak against them. They cast out the spirits, and the city gets mad. The leaders get mad, and they put stripes on them and beat them and cast them into prison. And it was by chance that they came into the prison and were there when that particular jailer was working that particular shift. Hallelujah, divine coincidence. And Paul and Silas sang and praised God at midnight, and the earthquake happened. Hallelujah. Every man's bands were loosed, and the jailer is scared to death. He's going to commit suicide because he was supposed to keep Paul and Silas in their feet in the stocks in the innermost part of the prison. Hallelujah. And now they're free and walking out. He's going to commit suicide, and Paul and Silas stop him and witness to him. And his heart was open. He was ready. Hallelujah. And he was baptized that night. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know what time it was. I know it was after midnight. That's all I know. 1 a.m, 2 a.m, I don't know. But he got baptized that night. He woke up his wife and kids. They got baptized that night. And revival came to that city again, to another family. Hallelujah. I'm talking about divine coincidences. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we ought to take just a minute here tonight and just let's pray for a divine coincidence. Let's pray that God just puts something in our lap and we'll just be ready and willing to make a difference in somebody's life. Oh, God, I'm telling you, there could be a new family in this church next week. There could be 10 new people in this church next month. Come on, God. He's the Lord of the harvest. Come on, God does this stuff. God gives the increase. Amen. Neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything. Amen. No flesh is going to glory in his presence. We're just laborers, fellow laborers together in the harvest. But God gives the increase. And I'm telling you, you never know when God is going to give the increase. You never know when God is going to move on the good ground. Hallelujah. Sometimes the good ground yields 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Hallelujah. You never know what's going to pop up from good ground. Why don't we gather into the front here for a minute? Come on, let's pray for an open door. Let's pray that God opens a door. God, I pray you bring a Matilda into this church, God. God, open somebody's heart. Open somebody's heart. Prepare somebody's heart, God. In the pathway. In my pathway. On my journey. Oh, let it be a divine coincidence. Oh, God, I'm looking for the harvest. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping, amen, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. Come on, God's going to put a harvest in our hands. God's going to put the harvest in our hands. Oh, I pray for a harvest, God. Oh, come on. This church has been sowing seed for 25 years. Come on, there's been seed, this pastor. Oh, the people of God, the seed, the Sunday school program, the outreach. There's been precious seed. There's been tears in these fields of labor. Oh, God, I pray that you would connect us to the right people. Open hearts, God. Let families come in. Oh, let there be a Lydia's family. Oh, let there be families baptized. Oh, let there be hearts that are opened already. Come on, let's reach out.
Got to reach somebody. Touch them through.
God, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner, God. I want to be a soul winner, God. I want to make a difference. I want to see somebody's life changed. Oh, God, put them in my path. Come on, we can't do it on our own. Come on, we're leaning on the everlasting arms. We can't do this on our own by ourselves. Oh, we need God to connect us. We need God to swing a door wide open. We need God to orchestrate. Oh, orchestrate it, God. Come on, let's pray for a Bible study. Come on, let's pray for an open heart. Let's pray by chance, God. By chance, God. By chance, God. Do it for me. Do it for me, God. Do it for me, God.